It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, I want to just say happy birthday.
Thank you.
To Anna. Wait, no, it wasn't you.
Oh, somebody else?
To Anna DeVlantis.
Jennifer Lopez? I think her birthday is today.
So you always know.
We don't really care about
who
that.
Who else's birthday it is, right? I mean, because it's like that's a whole thing because you see it in the. Oh, look who else's birthday it is. Yeah.
And it's my birthday and National Tequila Day, the same.
Day.
The same exact
Very
day.
Interesting.
How
coincidence?
So we have tequila? Is
I
that what you're
not.
Implying?
Margaritas are Huge. In order.
I think just shooters. Tequila shots.
Can we get that worked out by the end of the show, you think? Some margaritas for the birthday girl? That's all I ask.
My purse here.
Hey, it's Amelia Earhart's birthday as well.
Earhart.
That's what I said.
Ear.
What did I say?
Ear.
You said ear because that's how it looks.
Earhart. She got that going for you. Her and J-Lo.
You know, she's still around somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Earhart. Yeah, we don't know exactly where she is, but we believe she and Elvis are still alive.
Isn't she on that pizza box?
Yep. And then, J-Lo, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
You have sort of a J-Lo-ish hit. That makes sense.
Yeah, I like the Jennifer
Lopez.
She was
at Wrigley the other night.
No way.
Yeah, because A-Rod was in town.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
She had, like, so much security. It was, like, as much security as a president would have walking through Wrigley. Except, it was crazy.
She's incredible. And unlike J-Lo, I feel like, I mean, she doesn't age. Have we noticed that about her?
That is true. It's all good, as far as I'm concerned.
She's getting better with time.
She is.
And she can still move. But she's on that kind of wacky TV show now. Isn't she on one of those, like...
World Dance?
No. She's got... Isn't she
plays a cop, doesn't she, on another show? Yeah, she does.
It's like a Chicago Streets and Sand or one of those kinds of shows.
Mm-hmm. I just think she's incredible. And she seems to not look like that pulled look that a lot of people in Hollywood look like. She looks and moves incredibly.
Thing today is that it's your birthday.
Thank you.
And we all wish you a happy
back
birthday.
Back to me. And it's also International Self-Care Day. So I'm going to take care of myself. And I also hope that there'll be a margarita arriving at some point during the show from you guys. That's all I ask.
All right.
Even by 7 o'clock.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Kelly, all right. Okay.
So all right, a couple
whatever.
Things are missing from that, like, you know, the mix, the ice, the blender. Would you just, like, want a tequila shot?
Why don't... Yeah,
you need lime and salt?
That would be okay, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, why not? That's, what could go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
We'll do a few shots of tequila on the air and
we should start doing them now. We should do a shot every 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
It's like they do like that drunk driving thing, you know, they used to do where they go into a radio studio and get somebody drunk and see if they could, you know, do like
function.
A hand-eye coordination.
Yeah. And do like a J-Lo song every 15 minutes with our shot.
And then one person could not do it and just do play-by-play. At this point, they're losing their ability to pronounce words. At this point.
You know, back at the beginning of my career, they did that with me. I had to drink 4 bottles of Jack Daniels every hour.
Gee. I bet that happened on occasion.
And I'm going to tell you something. I actually got smarter and faster as it went on.
Somehow I believe that.
I believe it. It's his daily vitamin, Jack Daniels.
You don't know how to function without it once you have it.
You know what it was? It was a rapper's delight. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's 75 degrees O'Hare on WGN. Okay. We got to be done now. That, by the way, was a rap song. That was the beginning. That was the first rap song hit in musical history.
I always thought it was Blondie. Isn't that credited sometimes with being the first
rap? That was a rapper's delight.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How far we've come.
I know.
Now
we got Kanye.
It's a little different now. It's just a little different now. I think it was Public Enemy that decided, you know what? This whole thing where everything rhymes and the guy's just... now he's just making noises and thinking that rhymes with the other noises he's making.
Now you got the Kiki Challenge, people getting out of moving cars to do some Drake thing.
I was thinking about that.
You guys see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
No, I did not see that. What is that?
So it's like some Drake song and... It's called the Kiki Challenge, and people get out of their car while it's moving and do some sort of dance along with the song. As you may imagine, there's been a few viral videos of that going wrong.
You got to put your car in neutral and have a lot of space, and you get out, you do a couple dance moves, you leave your door open.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Some guy got drilled by an oncoming car. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's remarkable that people can actually do that.
Well, they used to do isn't it called like ghosting when you go around the car? Like, everyone gets out and then gets back in.
Fire drill.
Fire drill.
Fire drill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But ghost riding.
We should do a Kiki challenge using Rose Car. Well, the whole show will get out and do the Kiki challenge. What could go
and
wrong?
Then I'll run you over. And this. And
Rose,
this way,
finally.
This way, the company will save money, and we'll get a good viral video out of it. Because that's all that really counts now.
Finally, got rid of these kids.
How many likes did you get this week on social media? Oh, we got a lot, sir.
A lot.
Because I ran over the entire show.
They're in the hospital.
Yeah.
I got ran over, but I got a lot of likes.
Yeah, it was really good.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right.
It's the way it works these days.
All right, we're going to check in with Joe Donlin at WGN TV, find out what's going on there. But first, let's find out from Judy what's coming up in the bottom of the hour on the radio.
Singer Demi Lovato rushed to an L.A. hospital for a heroin overdose.
Violetta?
And then there's this. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9.
All right, there he is. Joe Donlin joins us for the WGN TV Newsroom.
Hi, Joe.
Yes, it's a... can you hear me today?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Perfectly.
Yeah, all worked out. Yep.
It's a little known fact, Ro, that I like hot butter on my breakfast toast.
Oh.
The Sugar Hill Gang.
Yes.
I heard it, yeah.
Yes.
Perfect setup.
Yes, thank you very much.
Delight.
Now, I just want to know, because you and I are close in age. You're a little younger than I am.
Okay.
And I just... When we were kids and that song came out, it was like everybody's like, oh my God, look at that.
Oh,
that, how do they do that? How are they able to talk and sing at the same time?
We've been singing it here at the producer pod ever since.
Bring that back up, would you?
Hop, the hip, it, the.
Wait, let's hear it.
Rock it to the bang, bang. Look at Yo, Vicky. Yo, where are you?
Joe, if you'd like to lose all your credibility, you're going to sing along here.
I already did that.
Go for it. Let's hear it. And you can break dance while you're at it.
He could.
I don't think the camera can say that. The hip of the hip, the hip hop, you don't stop. Come on, go fit my rubber to the boogity bang bang, the boogie to the boogity beat. Now right. What you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat.
Yeah.
So now they're explaining. He's explaining what he's doing there, which I love. He's explaining that I'm rapping to the beat. Oh, well, is that what you're doing?
Well, you had to back then. No one knew what it was.
Yeah. Hey, Ro, I need to tell you, I feel badly. I cheated on you and Kevin today.
Oh no. Don't tell him that.
What happened?
I played golf with Roan. Yeah.
With Dan Roan without us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were available. We're just a phone call away, Joe.
Wait, what?
I didn't set up the foursome. That was Dan.
Who else was in the foursome?
A couple of Dan's buddies.
Are they? Was it Eric and like Steve Dahl? Was it like,
no.
Who was it?
It was somebody from Channel 5.
You don't have to.
Did you? Not Channel 5.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have picked Kevin and Ro?
I mean, we were available,
I didn't
Joe.
Set the tee time. Dan did. So we'll have to talk to him about
it. Did
that.
You think about them, though? And, like, maybe we should?
I never liked Dan.
You know, what I was thinking about was that I spared you guys the 6 a.m. wake up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I would have had to have said to you, you know, I got that thing. I'm not going to be able to do that.
I'm not
going
to do that. Yeah. I didn't want to do it, to be honest with you.
But you did.
And then an hour-long drive down to Cog Hill. But it was a beautiful day, and it's always a great day to play golf. Dan played well, as usual, and I didn't.
Dan is an amazing golfer.
He is.
He's fun to watch.
Would have been better if we were there.
He shot 78 and was upset with his game today.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. He goes, I haven't played well since me, you, Joe, and Ro were out there.
Maybe that's why he didn't invite us, Kevin.
Yeah,
think about that.
I go, are you blaming me here, Dan? I apologize.
Well, there. I think you guys are available the next time you go out, Joe.
Yeah, we're okay.
So
we're
reach
available.
Out.
You want to go play now? We can go play. Get nine in right now for the show.
And if you let it take over, we got to golf.
Just call them at 6 a.m.
Yeah,
the time
right.
You sure. Really wanted them to come.
And, I
mean,
do that.
They've been
answer.
Fishing for an invitation for, since the last time they golfed with you.
Yeah, fishing? Which I think was.
I'm up for fishing. Let's do that, too. I think you have to get up early to do that, too.
Yeah, that's weird because you have to get up early or stay out really late. You get bitten by bugs, and then you got to do something with the fish when it comes out of the water. Like grab it and either pull the hook out and throw it back in. Which then, and you're ripping half of its jaw out when you do that. But it's great. It's catch and release. And the fish is like, don't kill me now.
Okay, so we won't go fishing.
Yeah, that's probably
bad memories.
Preview of what it would be like to fish with Rob.
Yeah, is that something? Anyway, all right, let's talk about what's coming up on the WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Well, the highlight today, I think, that I wanted to talk about was this protest that's coming up next Thursday on August 2nd, where protesters are going to shut down Lakeshore Drive at 4 o'clock. And this is a Cubs night game. And they are planning not to disrupt the Cubs game, but they're definitely planning to shut down Lakeshore Drive. They're not going to walk like the protesters did on the Dan Ryan Expressway back on July 7th. This sounds like a protest just to gather at Lakeshore Drive and Belmont, shut down Lakeshore Drive northbound there. Who knows where it goes from there? Who knows if it gets off the ground? Because it doesn't necessarily have the support of Father Michael Flager. He said he does support anyone's nonviolent use of protest to bring attention to the issues on the south and west sides, but he stopped short of endorsing this particular protest on August 2nd, which is aimed at several things as well, including the removal of Rahm Emanuel and Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. So there are a number of issues at play here. Will it work as well as Father Flager's? We'll have to wait and see. That was definitely well organized. We'll see what happens next Thursday, but it sounds like Rahm Emanuel has promised CPD in a communication will do what it can to make sure the public remains safe on the 2nd for this protest, but he stopped short of endorsing this one, as he did.
Well, who's organizing? Do we know who's organizing this?
Well, there are a handful of Reverend Livingston, I know, and
it says here, Coalition for a New Chicago and the Violence Interrupters. But it seems like there are a number of organizations behind
right.
this one.
Exactly. So, and I'm not sure how well organized this one will be, as critics of Michael Flager will at least admit he's well organized, and that protest on the Dan Ryan did come together and end almost on schedule, as Father Flager said it would. We don't know what will happen with this one, but we'll all be waiting to see. And the other wrinkle is this is happening on a week night at 4 in the afternoon, right in the middle of rush hour.
It's always
right
a mess.
Before a Cubs game.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens on the 2nd.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm not sure what these what they're trying to provoke here. Obviously, it's an election year, so there's the provocation of trying to draw attention to the race and all of the people who are. Teal Hardeman is, you know, one of the guys who's behind this.
Well,
and,
right.
and so the question is, you know, who's he backing in the race? Who's, you know, where is his horse? And that it seems like Chicago politics here, more than anything else, I don't know what it does to keep people from shooting each other. And this idea that there have to be jobs, we do have the best. One of the best economies that we have seen in a really long time, and there's a work shortage, an employee shortage in a lot of things right now, in a lot of different sectors of the economy. And to me, the biggest driver in Chicago is the educational system.
Yep.
Is that we are not preparing young men and young women, but specifically young men. We're not being able to keep them in the schools and attract them to them. We're not getting to the parents to keep them engaged in helping their kids stay in school. We're not, you know, there are lost generations now of kids who, you know, have kids and then those kids have kids, and that they're not in any way involved in the greater economy or the greater educational system, and they tend to end up falling into or being born into, you know, this life of gangs and violence and drugs and guns and all of that. And so the interruption isn't just about jobs. It isn't just about the economy. That will always help. And education, it's not even about that. It's about interrupting that cycle, too. And I think that's a very tricky political thing to address. And everybody wants to blame the greater economy or the greater society for it. But we do have to kind of get in to interrupt that as well. And how do you do it?
How do you do that? That is the issue. And that's the question. I mean, the second week of April, there were 100 people shot in 7 days, and everyone just sort of, you know, is at a loss for how to explain it or what to do about it. But I think you're right. I talked with a firefighter today who said they sit in their fire station on the west side, and they can hear the gunshots, and they just wait for the broadcast
to
crash.
And off
they go. And well, it happens, he says, every day.
No question in election year that this is going to be front and center, and they're keeping it front and center with these protests. Mm-hmm. They're saying they want to redistribute the pain. That's part of the reason they're doing it, so that they can take it to other neighborhoods and make people feel inconvenienced, I guess, so that they pay attention to the cause. That's what the organizers are saying.
Well, I think everybody has everybody's attention. The question is, what is
where does the
solution begin, and what would these folks who are doing this, what solution would they like to see? and maybe a practical, just, you know, one practical solution that they see would be, you know, it's, oh, we want more jobs. Well, that's too amorphous of a notion, right? Because there are jobs available in places, and there's job training available in places. The question really is, how are we going to address the first set of pathologies here before we get to the second? Because going out and getting a job, if you're not properly educated, right? If you're not properly trained, if you're not in a position to do it, and you're not, and you have, you know, other stresses and transportation issues and all the rest of that, that becomes its own set of impediments. So there's a grander way of looking at this. And this isn't just about who's mayor. I suspect, Joe, as you were just saying, I suspect that really this is just about, you know, either it's a group of candidates who, you know, want to soften up ROM, or one guy who wants to, or a woman who wants to soften up ROM at this point. This is really about that and not really about the stated cause. But,
well, we'll see. I mean, I think that their message certainly got out with the Dan Ryan Expressway shutdown. And I think I covered that on the 7th of July, and I thought that was more of a cry for help than it was a march or a protest. I think everyone I talked with along that protest really spoke very well and strongly about how they wanted change, the things you're talking about, education, economic opportunity, economic development, some options other than the drugs and the gangs that are really controlling these neighborhoods on the south and west sides. And Father Flicker did say he's in support of anything that draws attention to the plight of those neighborhoods, and I think we all want to see something happen there. But as you point out, at this point, I'm not sure anyone knows what that is, but I think your other good point is, you know, let's try something, because this is, it's unbelievable.
You do have to continue to instill in those kids when they're really young that there is another world out there. Now, if they're in a family that doesn't see that other world, and that, you know, everybody, their dad or their mom or their big siblings are somehow involved in it, it's very hard to get out of that. But
yeah,
if they're
is.
Just around it, we have to try to get to the, you know, to those families that want their kids not to get involved in it. And that is and that, you know, you start there and you try to find pathways out. And I know there are programs here. It's just, I hate when all this stuff gets, we're spending too much time in the rhetoric of politics and not in actual workable solutions, because we just get caught in a fight. It's your fault, it's my fault, it's their fault, you know, it's whatever it is.
Well, and that's what the protesters say the point of all of this is. But the bigger question is, where does it go from there? What are some of the solutions? What are some of the things that can happen to turn this around? And I think you hit on two key ones, the drugs and the gang situation. Those are cycles that are going to be very difficult to break, and they're very powerful in those neighborhoods. And it's like you said, a generation, let's hope the next one isn't lost as well.
Yeah. All right, Joe, thank you very much. We'll see you tonight, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Sounds good. Thanks,
guys. All
right,
there you go, Joe Donlan, WGN-TV News. And it didn't blink all of us today, Kev.
This one stings, guys.
I know, it hurts.
Yeah. Next time, I'm sure I'll ask you.
I'm hurting real bad now. All right, let's see what we got here. We got Judy. She's got the WGN News, and that's coming your way in 2 little minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. It's her birthday today.
Thank you. I'm still waiting on my margarita for National Margarita Day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
worry, it's in the works.
Oh, see, Violetta takes care of things like this. She takes care of people.
Birthdays is a big deal to me.
It's what we love about Violetta. Make sure everyone's having fun at all times. Thank you, Violetta.
Thank you, Anna, for having a birthday.
Mm-hmm. Everyone will hopefully enjoy my birthday.
Yep. Big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Film.
Is this one that is a 0 or a 5 in it that
no,
makes any kind
no,
of anything?
No. No,
okay.
It isn't.
All right. Okay.
All birthdays important.
Yeah, some more than others, I'll be honest.
Some more than others.
Yeah.
It's always nice. Turn the attention on yourself.
Yeah. All right. Mike Flannery is here. It's not his birthday. Actually, when is your birthday?
March.
Yeah.
We just talked about this.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my calendar. What day?
Because Violetta will throw you a party.
She will.
Wow.
She'll have something sent over to the office.
At the restaurant?
Yeah, if you want, wherever.
Cabbage rolls.
Party on the go.
On the 28th.
Okay, of March. Gotcha.
Wow. There's always some. That restaurant is a reality show in and of itself.
It totally
they
is.
Just can't afford the publicity, if you know what I mean. It's sort of like it's like they're the only place. They're the only like restaurant in America that goes, no, we don't want the reality show.
Yeah, we don't want too many investigative reporters here either.
No cameras. No cameras.
No, I don't want. Yeah.
You come have a good time. No cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
What's this?
All right, let's talk about. First of all, Mike, let's. You're having a big debate here.
Yes, Thursday night. Peter Roskam, arguably the most powerful, the number one Republican from Illinois on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Ways and Means. He was chairman of the tax policy subcommittee that wrote. That began the tax cut bill that took effect earlier this year.
Yeah.
And now he's moved over to the health care subcommittee of Ways and Means that's dealing with permutations of Obamacare.
Yes, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a bill that some people are happy with, some people are not happy with, and it's likely to be part of the debate on Thursday.
Well, apparently it was a sold-out debate, but then they realized that his opponent had, his supporters had gobbled up most of the tickets, so they opened it up for
Kasten.
A few more. Right. Let's talk about him.
Democrat Sean Kasten, did what... What campaigns do, I guess his colleagues, his supporters went in and apparently scarfed up the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just for clarification, I had nothing to do with selling or distributing the tickets.
Where are these going to be? Where are we doing this?
It's at the Union League Club.
Okay.
Up on the sixth floor.
And your cameras are going to be there?
We're going to be there.
Are you going to be doing this live?
We're going to live stream it from 6 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then we're going to rebroadcast it. In its entirety, live on tape from 10 to 11 p.m. Thursday night.
Okay.
And then on my show...
What are the Simpsons going to do then? What happens then? What's on at 10? Is this still the Simpsons?
O'clock?
I don't even know.
What's on at 10 o'clock?
Good question. I'll get back to you.
Somebody look that up for me? It's either Family Guy. It's one of those. I can't remember. Yeah.
People will miss that. But the Lincoln Forum, people rave reviews in general, and this one sounds like a good one. Could get heated.
And they were the folks, Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein. They're co-founders of the Lincoln Forum, and they're the ones... who were in charge of the tickets. So all the complaints, I've been zapped on social media. I've gotten phone calls, and letters.
You didn't do anything wrong.
But this is all part of the stuff that often happens with debates.
Yeah.
But these guys, this is a district that's where the Democrats are going to be tested. The blue wave dreams and hopes and desires of the Democrats, they're going to be tested in this district because Hillary Clinton carried this district by 7 percentage points.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That's why...
And this is west and northwest suburbs, right?
Straight west, mostly DuPage County. The largest part of the district is in DuPage. And Roskam is from Wheaton. And Sean Kasten and his family live in Downers Grove. It also reaches up to the Barrington area.
Right.
There's a little bit
of northwest up there.
Some in Cook. Yeah. But
a lot of manufacturing.
Yes.
And a lot of, suburban. It's a kind of a prototypical American suburban district.
Yep.
Right. You've got, it's pretty wealthy. Actually, it's probably above the average in terms of suburban districts, in terms of wealth. It has been reliably Republican for most of these cycles, but as you point out, Hillary Clinton also, but being sort of a native daughter of that area, she probably did a little bit
Northwest Cook, yeah, not too far from there. So she carries it by 7 percentage points. It's one of 24 districts that she carried that is now held by a Republican. At the same time, she was winning by 7 percentage points over President Trump. Peter Roskam was winning 59-41 against the Democratic nominee 2 years ago, Amanda Howland. So he won by 18.
Right. He's a popular guy. He's been reliable for that district. And I think there's a certain amount of pride that surrounds him because he has been one of the more prominent figures out of the Illinois delegation.
And so Sean Kasten, who worked in renewable energy, and he's campaigning on a strong environmental theme. He's challenging that theory. He doesn't think that Roskam is as popular as you just suggested. So we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And voters who tune in on a Thursday night are going to get to see the two of these guys go at it. They're both articulate. They're both really bright. They're both really good. I'll tell you, they disagree vehemently about the impact of this tax cut and jobs bill that President Trump signed into law earlier this year. You know, Roskam argues that it has been a huge boon for small business in that district, especially for manufacturers. He'll rattle off the names for you of factories and small manufacturers that are buying new equipment and that are expanding. Kasten, on the other hand, says, you know, it capped the deduction for property taxes. Something like 75% or 80% of the folks in that district took that deduction on their income tax returns. And it doesn't really take full effect.
And home values there are, you know, higher than the national average. So it's going to be
a fascinating debate.
Well, you know what's going to be fascinating? April 15th, 2019. Because that's when the rubber will hit the road for people in terms of how the new tax bill really affects them. They will get to see what they saved or what they didn't.
So now, Roskam says even with that deduction capped at 10 grand, and some people took a lot more of it, of course, that the tax cuts in those upper brackets are still going to outweigh it, and it's still going to be a good deal.
How is Congressman Roskam handling his association with the president, President Trump? You're seeing Republicans handle this in different ways on the campaign trail.
Well, this is the classic district where these couple dozen Republicans who represent districts that Hillary carried by significant margins. I mean, 7 points is not razor thin. He hasn't been shy about separating himself from the president. You know, I mean, he's been saying for a while he wishes the president would suspend his Twitter account. Drop some of the rude and crude personal attacks, and he gets specific about some of the policy differences. He split with the Republicans recently and with the White House on a bill that would have allowed anybody who is permitted in their home state to conceal carry a weapon would have been able to do it in Illinois. It would have been a national law. And, of course, there are now a growing number of states where you don't even have to get a permit.
Did he do that on Sacha Baron Cohen?
Thank God, no.
No, they didn't. They called Joe Walsh. They didn't call Peter Roskam. Yeah,
you had Joe Walsh on your Flannery Fired Up show.
Yeah.
Right after that Sacha Baron Cohen thing, how did he handle that?
He was a pretty good sport. He laughed at it. He says, you know, he nailed me. He got me. There's not much I can say.
I wasn't paying attention. That's what everybody is saying, the same thing. This guy, this doofus down in Georgia who took
his pants off
and chased Sacha Baron Cohen around with his butt because Sacha Baron Cohen told him to do it. Like, he got hypnotized. he's doing the same thing. Well, I was, you know, I have this paralyzing fear and I wasn't thinking straight. Really? I mean, I think they're just kind of catching people where they are. Joe Walsh is a smart guy, but I think Joe Walsh has always been very calculated in his populism. I don't know what he truly believes in his heart, but I know that he sees great advantage to saying and behaving in the ways that he does. For a while, it helped him politically, not so much anymore, but it certainly helps him in business, you know, as a broadcaster and as a firebrand and all of that. And I think there's a lot of people who just do it for the commerce of it, which is a little scary to me.
Well, he told about the setup. He says, it was just amazingly elaborate. They flew him out to D.C. They gave him an award. There was a 45-minute ceremony. Then they did some other stuff. They whistled him. And then they told him this story about a 5-year-old kid in Israel. Who was carrying a gun and disarmed a terrorist.
The kindergarten guardians.
The kindergarten guardians.
With their gunimals. Little guns dressed up like stuffed animals.
Supposedly Benjamin Netanyahu had given the 5-year-old an award. And so then they asked him to read this promo where he said, yes, your first grenader could become a first grenader.
Yeah.
Your first grader could be a first grenader.
Well, the thing that is interesting is that these guys all thought this was only going to run in Israel. They didn't think it was going to run in the United States. That's one of the things that they set up here. And they have, for these characters, these four characters that Sacha Baron Cohen is playing in this show that is duping these people, they've set up elaborate identities online for these people.
Yeah, you said they created fake Wikipedia pages, and it really seems to check out.
There apparently is a real estate transaction involving one of the fake personalities here for a Greek island, right? I mean, it's so elaborate. So if people are doing cursory searches, these people pop up and they go, it must be real. And they're flying. behind them, and they've got the cameras, they got the whole thing. Yeah. It must be real, right? But
yeah.
Then they just get sucked into it. Well, it's unbelievable.
I was covering the Olympics for NBC, and there were emails that went around saying Ali G, his other character, had already gotten senior executives and Olympians and really had got him to sit down for these ridiculous interviews that went to ridiculous places. So yeah. He's good at what he does.
All right, we'll see you on Thursday night on the Fox 32. So thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike. You guys.
And happy right. early birthday.
Yeah. All right. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Bailouts and bragging. Critics slamming Trump on tariffs.
Violetta?
Sean Spicer, a.k.a. Spicy Spicerson. The Spice Man.
Yes, the Spicerson.
The Spicerson.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a book out. He wants you to buy it. So he's going to join the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 6:40 in the morning.
Spicy Spicerson.
Spicy Spicerson. There's a little fact-checking issues with his book, apparently. But we can talk about that, too.
Yeah, there's a really good fact-checker story today, too, about something else that the president might have said. That turns out not to be 100%
quite
right.
True.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Brocon Show with birthday girl Anna DeVlantis today.
You know, I've eaten so much cake and so much rich food and chocolates that I really just about have a stomach ache now.
Yes.
And I still have a lot more to eat and drink ahead of me on National Margarita Day. These are real problems, Tom Skilling.
I, you know, Anna, but you realize, don't you, that on your birthday, nothing has any calories.
That's true. You know,
they're
thank
they're
you.
Dismissed.
Thanks
yes.
Thanks for that reminder.
Yes.
Wait, how is it possible that's true? Does it count for me or no?
Oh, it does. Everybody in the immediate environment. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
We proclaim that unilaterally here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to you. Know, I thought you were about like... the science, Tom.
Yeah, he is. That's why I believe him, because he's a scientist.
The chances of that working out are like Santa Claus coming down the chimney with a $2 million check for each of us tonight, too. You know, so.
Well, no, only happens on December 25th.
Oh, I see.
It only all comes around once
Thank
a year,
you,
just
Violetta.
Like your birthday.
That's good. I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
That's what happened.
But you can win the... lottery.
That's true. It's $522 million for the Mega, and it's $300 million straight cash.
Is that what it's up to now?
Yeah. If you want to just take the cash alternative, it's $300 million.
Gee. You could live fairly comfortably on that.
Yeah. And after taxes, I'm trying to think of what the new Trump tax is. That means it's $290 million after you pay the Trump tax.
Of course... You don't know how the tariffs are going to affect
them. Right, that's true.
You know,
that's
so, right. Who knows?
Maybe I'll buy myself a lottery ticket for
you
my
birthday.
That's an idea.
Why not buy myself a little present?
Anna, you know, we should have done that for you. That would have been a nice birthday.
Well, I can't buy someone a lottery ticket.
Not at this level. Yeah. I could buy her, like, the scratch-offs. that's fine. If she, she wins a grand, fine. Be happy with it. She wins $300 million bucks in cash.
You just hate
Can
me,
you
wouldn't you?
Imagine that?
Yeah, that's, yeah. And then you're like, hey, you know, remember
that
when
would
I
strain relations, even the best relations, a little bit, you know. I just, if you figured out some way to divvy that up, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Tom.
What a beautiful day for
it
a birthday.
It is. It is. Getting the whole family together, and we are, in fact, going to a Mexican restaurant to get margaritas. I'll have margaritas. The kids are going to be watched by other people tonight, and then, we're all going to get everyone together, and everyone will have fun, and I'm going to have a couple of margaritas.
Oh, yeah, nice. You should.
Mm-hmm. You can have Sacha Baron Cohen watch your kids?
No, after what I've seen. I haven't even seen Who Is America yet, but just from the clips we played on this very show of the things he's been able to pull off with politicians and others, I'm amazed what they're doing. Tom, have you watched this?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God.
You haven't seen the man from Georgia pull down his pants and do this backwards?
No, I have not.
Charge?
I haven't lived yet.
It's quite a moment, yeah. It's quite a moment. There are things that happen in this show that are just not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
And, our show and...
Yeah, both shows. We played some of it yesterday. I mean, he got a bachelorette contestant to support a charity that supports child soldiers in Africa.
Oh, wow.
It says that, for $21 a month, you can make sure that your child soldier has a grenade launcher.
Oh, gee. I'll tell you something.
Because then they don't have to get too close because they have the launcher. So, and Jessica Simpson, apparently, did it.
You know, you can't believe this kind of stuff went on. Anything even remotely close to it.
Well, it was just explained to us a little bit. They went to really elaborate levels to convince these people that what they were sitting down for was a foreign television show, wasn't going to be shown in the United States, and that it was very real.
Well, the producers have to create that illusion that it is real. I mean, imagine the lengths they would have to go through. I mean, some of these people were clearly just like, what are you doing, man? But for some of these, you really had to create the illusion that this was a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it worked.
Yes.
He's been doing this for years.
Yeah, but I just want to play this little one because it just this second here. He goes to Kingman, Arizona, and he has a focus group and Kingman, Arizona is a very homogenous town of Anglo-Americans and it's a retirement community. So he went into a retirement community, and he asked all of these folks who had retired to Kingman, Arizona, and he plays one of the characters he plays is like a super liberal cisgender white male who wants to renounce his whiteness. You know, he's like super politically correct. And so he goes to this town and he asks them if they want to have this big $375 million project in their town. Who wants, in a focus group? And they all raise their hands. And he goes, and who wants to create, whatever it is, these numbers of jobs? And they all raise their hands. And he announces the project.
This, guys, is going to be the world's largest mosque outside of the Middle East.
Just the word alone scares you. To me, when I hear the word mosque, I think of terrorism.
Is there a need for this in Kingman?
Yes, there is.
How?
Why? Wow, what?
Your town will become a hub for tourism for Muslims around the world. Can I get a whoop whoop?
No.
No.
We don't want that here.
Oh, gee.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
At one point, that guy says, it's bad enough we have the blacks here. They're not welcome, but we put up with them.
What?
Hold on. Wait, listen to this.
Take place?
This he did this over the last year. Here, listen to this.
Can we hear from some of the Muslims in this room? How do you feel about it, sir? Are you a Muslim?
No. There's no Muslims here.
There's no Muslims here.
Oh, there are no Muslims here at all.
This town's lucky to have black people in it.
See?
Yeah, of course you're lucky to have black people. They add a lot to the society. Thank you, sir. Don't be ashamed.
He's saying there's black people in Kingman that aren't welcome there either, but we tolerate them.
Wow. I mean, these are people who signed a waiver to appear in this thing. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
He did that when one of his other characters in the past, when he went down to a town in the South and he talked about Jewish people and he got everyone to sing this very anti-Jewish song. And they all were singing it. And you just thought, well, what is everyone doing?
It was a Borat.
It was Borat. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, string me out on this. Is this guy running for office in Georgia, did you say?
There was a guy who was running for office in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry.
That guy
was a state representative in Georgia. He lost his primary. But this is before he even lost his primary. When they did this to him. Now he has since lost his primary and, a couple months ago. So it doesn't, it's really kind of irrelevant, this guy now, because he's not going to be a state rep anymore. But when Sacha Baron Cohen went down there and did this, he posed as an Israeli colonel of the Mossad, and that he was doing this video in America of, he wants to do these self-defense videos. And this was about an anti-terrorism video. If you're assaulted by terrorists, you have to drop your pants and chase them with your bare butt backwards.
Who would believe that?
Because if they touch your butt, then they explain to them what will happen to them.
That would turn them gay.
Yeah, right. And then Muslims
That's
are...
That's what he said.
Well, hold on. We can play it. We can play it for Tom. He hasn't seen... He can't afford Showtime. So here we're going to play it for him.
ISIS are scared of being seen as homo. If your buttock touch them, it means they have become a
homosexual.
Now I am going to teach you how to use your buttocks to intimidate ISIS. Huh. Show me the buttock. No, trousers down. Okay, go.
America!
Good, one more time, but louder with America. Good.
So he like runs backwards.
So
into
that's a
him.
Real audience member right there.
No, that's not an audience member. He gets this guy. That guy's a state rep in Georgia.
Oh, brother!
Who now has got to is now apologizing for you know, taking part in this. He gets him to scream the N word.
Yeah.
He gets him to do all kinds of crazy stuff because, yeah. You know, and the one thing about this is the question is he duping these people or is he revealing them?
Right, yeah. That's a great question.
That's the big issue that people are confronting here.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, it's a little bit of both. I mean, he's duping them into doing this, but they're more than willing. This guy was more than willing to do this on camera. I mean, who would do that? Who in their right mind would do this?
Well, some of them reading off the teleprompter, you maybe feel a little more for, because I'm sure celebrities and members of Congress and things get asked to read things for different groups and charities all the time, and then it just gets real ugly, and before they realize what they're even saying, it's suddenly offensive. You know, they're reading things that they obviously otherwise wouldn't.
Wait. Yeah, you're going to forgive Corinne Olympios?
Maybe not Corinne.
For this?
Everybody knows about the tragedy of a child soldier in Africa. But what we don't know is that the real tragedy is how underfunded and undertrained they are. Many are not very effective killers at all and are, in fact, more child than soldier. We want to change this so that they can be fighting well into puberty. That's why we want you to join our program and adopt a child soldier.
Shame. That almost, that's not really funny.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
But when she read it, she didn't think for a second that she shouldn't be doing this.
I know.
These people are so caught up to in like being on camera and being,
right.
You know, this would all be
any publicity is good publicity.
Any persona. At least you hope that's what it is, you know?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Who would do that in their right mind? I mean, even kiddingly.
But for $21, only $21 a month, Tom, you're going to be able to get your child soldier grenade launcher.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. All right. So this is creating all this buzz. There's only been two episodes. There's seven total.
First one debuted to 327,000 viewers. The second one shot up to over a million people.
Where is this airing?
On Showtime.
Oh, wow. Wow. Sunday night. Is this guy trying to make a point that,
Yes.
This is the kind of thinking that's out there these days.
Well, I think he's trying to take advantage of people who are extreme thinkers and extreme, and people who are gullible and stupid enough or angry enough to fall for this. And I think that he's. And listen, there. You know, what was that James? What's his face? Who did this? James O'Keefe, who did this as a conservative against liberals, but it wasn't funny. It was more of like a gotcha. You know, trying to get them to acknowledge
abortion groups, and things like that,
and
shooting them undercover.
Sacha Baron Cohen is doing this. But I mean, part of Borat, which is considered one of the best comedies of the 2000s, is like a top 10 comedy.
Yeah.
Part of that was also this style. He went into places as Borat.
Yeah.
They were doing a documentary, and some people didn't realize that they were, that they were getting snookered into this movie.
Being had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, that's interesting. Who's this guy who, claims that the massacre in Connecticut didn't go on? He's all over the news. He's got his own.
Oh, the Newtown massacre of the children.
Yeah.
The denier guy?
Who's that, Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, yeah. The radio guy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this guy just sounds like that.
There are people out there like that. I mean, not a lot of them, but there are. And because social media now exaggerates all this, because you find out that there are more people who agree with this stuff than you thought.
Oh, I know.
And then you find out, then we come to find out that some of this is actually being propagated by foreign actors want to screw up our own culture.
I believe it. I often wonder if a lot of the stuff I hear, like when we bring up climate change, isn't orchestrated, by interests outside.
Sure it is.
Yeah. I'm beginning to think that now. And, you go, you'll go back to the, say if you put something on Facebook, you'll go back to the whoever it is who's responding, and they've got this weird-looking page with no information on it, really. And, it looks like it's a setup. And I'm beginning to think that goes on more and more than we realize on a lot of controversial issues.
There's a fascinating story a couple of weeks ago about the Koch brothers have been the Koch Industries has been going, which has a lot of skin in the game in terms of road building and and fossil fuel usage.
Yeah,
right?
They don't like electric cars, for instance.
Right.
They're actively out there supposedly debunking them.
Well, they're working against public transportation initiatives all over the country, and Nashville was one of the more interesting cases where they went in and they used a lobbying group to go in and kill a public transportation bill that would have created an electric, you know, train line that goes out of Nashville to like a circle line that goes to some of the more immediate suburbs there.
Sure.
So that people wouldn't, you know, to get downtown. Now, every major city in America has some sort of public transportation grid, right?
Right.
And Nashville doesn't have it because Nashville is now growing exponentially and probably needs it. Mm-hmm. But you have, you know, corporate interests that do lobby on both sides, right? You got the people like, you know, the people who make the electric trains,
sure,
you know, that are in there trying to lobby for it. And then, mm-hmm, interestingly enough, the Koch brothers or the Koch Industries, which, you know, is seen, you know, as a diabolical political entity, you know, in there fighting against something like this because it's in their best interest. You can't blame them for fighting for their best interests, but it's really up to the people of Tennessee to stop and think, well, maybe this really is in our best interests, as opposed to getting all, you know, fighting words about, well, you know, what's wrong with gasoline and there is no global warming and all that. They're using those kinds of arguments.
Yeah.
Whereas really it's a convenience and economic reality that Nashville would be a more the investment in that kind of transportation will pay off dividends for generations to come.
Yeah, yeah. I've often thought, you know, a lot of the measures we've got to take to kind of mitigate what's going on with our climate are actually positive. If you looked at them the right way, they could be the source of new jobs for the future, mm-hmm, and all kinds of things. And
what are you, a communist? What the hell kind of talk is that?
I know. I'll tell you, you know, these darn weather people. We sit here in our offices looking at our maps all day, and we go stir crazy.
Yeah, exactly. What were you thinking? Tom Skilling brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems. All right, let's talk quickly about the weather for this week. It's going to get hot again,
right? Hey, you know what? Well, it's pretty warm today, and tomorrow will be about the same. Then it'll kind of off. I was telling you, the last 8 days have been an absolute wash. And I think they've been beautiful. It's been a big improvement. It's been a little humid. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the alternatives. There are mammoth rains going on now in the Carolinas, Washington, Philadelphia. And then there's blazing heat. I was just looking at the temperatures out. There are temperatures in the Phoenix area around 117 now. They're around 120 in parts of the Las Vegas area. And out by Palm Springs, they're over 122. So you look at where we are, we're kind of sitting, you know, in good shape around here.
All right.
Yeah.
Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks,
okay,
Tom.
Rose, see you, and happy birthday.
Thank you, Tom.
Good to talk to you
guys,
as always. See you guys.
All right. Let's check in with Judy. What's coming up in a few minutes?
A warning from the Senate Majority Leader today for Russia.
Oh.
Hmm.
The Senate Majority Leader. He is a really, really strong speaker. You should be really worried when he starts. I fall asleep halfway through the first syllable of the sentence. All right, Violetta. Here's my guy right here. This is a guy that not only works hard all the week, but he also works hard for the weekend, too. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to do Creepy DJ Guy without actually being Creepy DJ Guy, and it didn't work out for me.
Mm-mm.
Mike Rowe is joining us, no relation. And you know him from Dirty Jobs and his, you know, his TV commercials and all the things he's done.
Right.
And now he's got a web series out, which is appearing on the Facebook. The people like the Facebook, Mike. I don't know what they seem to.
it's working.
I think this Facebook might actually be something before it's all said and done.
Too early to know for sure, but we're hopeful.
Yeah. It's called Returning the Favor. And this is all part of your MicroWorks Foundation. And this is really interesting. You've gone out and you found these sort of unheralded stories, untold stories about people in their communities doing the right thing. How are you able to find these stories?
Well, honestly, I guess it's been since 2003 when Dirty Jobs started. I figured out in 2005 that the key to production was just to let your fans more or less tell you where to go and what to do. I mean, it's not without hazards, but by and large, it's a great way to manage expectations and keep people involved in whatever the show happens to be. So every idea for Dirty Jobs and every idea for Returning the Favor has come through a viewer suggestion. So we basically listen to what people say. We do a little research, make sure they're not crazy. And once we can, you know, confirm the basics, we show up with a crew and surprise them. It's essentially a love letter to bloody do-gooders and an attempt not really to do another show, but just to get something in your news feed that doesn't make you want to throw up in your mouth or depress God. A hyena. You know?
A, what a great idea.
That... I mean, we got to find our way out of this some way as a nation, as a culture, that we have to let the politicians, we have to acknowledge that the politicians are trying to get our attention and pit us against each other for their own best interests. Mm-hmm. And maybe you agree that it's the best interest of the country or whatever, but let's put that aside for a moment and just talk about the essential, the few things we can agree on. And for example, I'm going to give you an example of something we can agree on, right? Well, actually, you gave me an example of something we can agree on. Here is a police officer from Canton, Ohio, that you found, who you get out in his car, and he's an African-American guy, and he talks about the neighborhood he grew up in, which has now been struck by another sort of economic downturn, despite the fact that there's so many other places that are showing upturns. There are places that are still showing downturns, and in a lot of minority communities throughout the country, this is true, and this is the case of it. And listen to what this police officer says.
My relationship with law enforcement when I was growing up was terrible. It was basically, they kind of mean mug us, and it was kind of one of those, you bet not do anything wrong or we're going to get you. And they treated us bad. So I realize when I see a lot of these different, you know, families that I interact with, I understand what they're going through.
They're where you were.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Pretty great right there.
It is.
Here's what's terrific. That episode, we shot it a couple of weeks ago. We cut it together as quick as we could because, to your point, look, we have to find the parts of the Venn diagram that we share, right? And I don't care where you are politically, and I don't care what you think about the disconnect between cops and the people they serve. You can't look at what Lamar Sharpe is doing in Canton, Ohio, and not see it as part of the solution. The guy walks the walk, and I posted this episode this morning at 7 o'clock, and I'm looking at it right now on the Facebooks, and 2 million people have watched it.
How about that?
So, look, it's a crazy thing. We've done 40-some episodes of this show. We've reached over 300 million people. It's far bigger than anything I've ever worked on before. And yet most people have never heard of it because it's Facebook and they've got 2 billion users and who knows anymore where stuff is.
Right.
But this little show, which isn't really a show, is really just a tap on the shoulder that says, hey, America, here's somebody who doesn't suck. Meet this woman. Meet this man. Look at what they're doing in their community. And look, the evidence demands a verdict. You will feel better after watching these 15, 20-minute episodes. Yeah. I guarantee it.
About humanity.
You do. You feel it's like go humanity, right? You start feeling really good about it. Did this one come from someone who lived in that neighborhood and who was impacted by this officer and the outreach to the community?
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
They went straight to my Facebook page and said, Mike, you've got to meet Officer Sharpe. I did a little research. The guy's 6'6". He's a mountain of a man. And he has set up this amazing mentorship program in Canton called Be a Better Me. He drives around town. He's got more candy in the back of his SUV than, the Good Humor Man. And he goes into the worst neighborhoods and he gives away candy. He meets the kids. And I'm telling you, this guy, he's actually moving the needle, and he's actually making a difference, and it's actually undeniable.
Did you see his interaction with kids on the street? I mean, so it was...
He lights up.
You get this sense of how... there's cameras around, and there's Mike Rowe standing there. So there's that. It's amazing to see on just a personal level people getting along, And we are so caught, Mike. Isn't it amazing? I mean, I know that we work in a business where we have to attract eyeballs and earballs and all that and try to get people's attention, right? But it seems like the things that that we watched when we were, you know, coming up in our businesses, and there were people that we watched doing things, and they were doing outrageous things just to be outrageous, and they were getting those things, and getting the kind of attention. You thought, that seems like a cheap way to do it, and now it's really become
it is a cheap way,
right? But it's and the hard way to do it, I think, in the way that you did it, especially by going out and singing the praises of hardworking men and women around this country who were doing jobs that you wonder who does those jobs, right? Wasn't that basically what Dirty Jobs is all about? Who goes down and crawls into that hole? Who goes out and, you know, and it spawned an entire other series of, you know, like Deadly, I think Deadliest Catch was a directed descendant of yours and all those kinds of shows.
It was.
And so that's, to me, I mean, those are great things, and that's not a cheap way to do it. That's a hard story to tell. That's a hard place to go, and these are great American stories, and everybody can agree on it. The guy who's literally crawling into a poop hole to clean it so that other people can live more safely is a great story, and why we are not more stuck on that side of the story. We're more stuck on the getting mad at each other. It just drives me nuts.
It is. And there's a great post.
Well, look, it's short term versus long term. And that's your poop in there, by the way, right? Right? It's like, it's not just about who's going in the hole to do the thing. It's what happens if they don't go in the hole to do the thing.
Right.
And how does that impact you? So, yeah, that's absolutely what's for sale today. And look, there are no new ideas. Right? I mean, there's some ideas that feel new because the earth spun. But here's some dead guys that are worth remembering. Studs Terkel, Charles Kuralt, George Plimpton, Paul Harvey.
Yep.
You know, these guys told stories in ways. I mean, Paul Harvey came right out of your town, right? Yeah. He's a Chicago guy. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's very, very difficult to find people who are telling simple stories in a straight-ahead, good-natured fashion. And by no means can I fill their shoes, but I'll follow in their footsteps. And I am, to your point, amazed that more people aren't.
Yeah, Studs also from here, of course, we should mention. But there's a great post you have on Facebook about an officer you met. And when you did this on an officer's, I'm sure it attracted a lot of fellow officers to your Facebook page to check it out. But there was an officer you met who died in the line of duty, and you had a moving tribute to him too, because you talk about, hey, this is what happened. This is one of the reasons we support our cops. They're the ones who are there when you're in danger. They're the ones who would risk their own lives to save yours. And you show exactly what happened to a man you met.
These are simple things. You know, look, you can point your cameras at anything you'd like. We have that option. You know, you guys can do any sort of show you want, and I'm fortunate. I can take my crew wherever. Cops and first responders have been very friendly to me for years, probably because of Dirty Jobs, but I've always been respectful and appreciative of them, and every so often they die. And when they do, it's amazing. You know, people will find me, and they'll send me photos of me with whomever. And yesterday I got this photo in the mail. It's on my page now. A guy named Diego, who I met up in Washington. And, you know, I had 10 minutes with him. That was it. And then I just got a heads up that he was killed in the line of duty a couple days ago. And so what can you do? You know, you have this little platform. You're online. So I post the photo and I write a couple hundred words. And, yeah, I wake up this morning and 2 million people are interacting with the thing.
Isn't that amazing?
It's very, it's very humbling, but it proves again that cable TV is full of people with bulging veins in their forehead and spit flying through the air. And our news feeds are just a hot mess of anger, right? And unfriendedness. And all of a sudden people see something like this and they go, ah, crap, you know something? That matters.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of human.
Thank you, Mike Rowe. Thank you for doing
this. Thanks,
Mike.
Sure.
Really is really amazing.
Thanks,
all right. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it, my friend.
I'll be around.
All right.
Thanks, Beth.
Mike Rowe. Watch this on Facebook. It's pretty amazing. Returning the Favor is what it's called. Just Google it and you'll find it. I think you can also probably find it on the YouTubes and stuff like that. People move. They migrate these deals.
They do.
Around. All right. Judy Pilak, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Part one of our series, America's New Soldiers.
Viola. It's the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, coming up,
Anna's birthday.
Yes,
it is
Anna. Thank you.
Also, National Margarita Day,
Tequila Day. Let's be clear.
So, Violetta, what'd you do for Anna?
Sorry, National Tequila Day.
What? We all did cake. We had cake.
We all had cake together,
and we're gonna have a party. It's coming up next week.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple parties, actually.
Yeah, we got
this.
This
show never. I almost said something else. This show never stops partying. Is what happens here? Well, it's interesting that we enjoy each other's company, except Judy doesn't enjoy mine. But it's a separate issue.
But she comes along.
We enjoy you guys not enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to watch. It is. But sometimes she enjoys the free alcohol that comes along with a Rokan friendship.
Well, the more alcohol, the more I enjoy everyone's company.
Oh,
so,
I'll tell you one thing that is true, though. The more she has to say about how she feels exactly about you, though.
No.
You know what you need to do? I'm going to tell you what you need to do.
Here's
right
what's
now.
Wrong with you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Another thing.
Yeah.
You know what? And then I worry about it the whole rest of the night. I'm like, what should I say? Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
That's why you left the laughs party early. I noticed that. She snuck out, pulled a ghost move.
Yeah, she ghosted us.
Mm-hmm. Right. I had enough of all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Call that the Irish goodbye. I don't know why. Are the Irish known for that?
Yeah, they have too many people to say goodbye to, so they just leave.
Oh.
Big families.
Oh,
I started doing that like as I got older, like 10 years ago. It's the best thing ever. I just leave.
I try to do that, but then I never end up leaving.
Because you don't say bye to anyone. Leave.
All I know is she was still in my house when I went to bed. She and her sister were still in my house when I'm like, I'm going to bed. You guys lock up.
He stomped up the stairs like a 3-year-old with his bottle of water.
Yeah. My blanket curled up in a ball. And then when I woke up in the morning, I was listening intently to see if they were still there.
Before you came down in your fuzzy slippers.
Yes. You know how you do that? Like you like listen real hard in the house. You're like, do I hear anything?
Just make sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear any motion.
Coast is clear.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that was good.
What time did you... Now, I never checked the security system. What time did you leave the house?
We disabled that early in the night.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Boris came over and did that probably.
Hey!
Yeah. All right. This is not why we called. We have other things we got to get to, including and not limited to.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yeah, okay. Checking in at
number five.
Jeff Sessions. He's the Attorney General. He kind of ran into an awkward situation. What do your kids say? Awk? Totally awk. He was at the Turning Point USA, which is a conservative political organization.
Mm-hmm.
Their high school leadership summit.
Yep.
The attorney general, he's the attorney general of the United States.
Nation's top law enforcement officer.
Was giving a speech about censorship on college campuses. All right, now that's it. Yeah, that's the sort of thing that he said, the political censorship, it's college campuses are too far left and that the right isn't accepted for what they're saying and all that. And that's, there's a legitimate argument to be made there, right? And that's a debate that people can have.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But then the crowd started chanting, lock her up. And this is how the Attorney General of the United States responded.
I like this bunch, I gotta tell you. You're not gonna be backing down. Go get them. Go get them. Rather than molding, lock her up. Well, so, I heard that a long time over the last campaign.
Okay.
He sort of half-heartedly did it there with a laugh. But he did say it.
Yeah. I don't think he was leading the chant, as a lot of people are saying.
No, the way it was portrayed on social media was very different when I just heard it there. He was also asked if he had participated in those types of chants on the campaign trail by CNN, and he said, or I think during his confirmation hearings, actually, and he said, no, I didn't. So
he's the attorney general, though,
and
we're talking
not.
About a political prosecution in America.
That's right.
And that's a little weird
about whether or not, you know, he should be more involved in the emails and the Hillary Clinton investigation.
But those are
probably not good.
Those are high school students.
And
right?
It's a leadership summit. It's not right.
So, you know who became a hero in this, though?
Hmm.
Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley. She stopped and she actually asked these kids
mm-hmm.
if they are using the hashtag own the libs.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how many kids would say that they were using that hashtag. And a bunch of them did, you know, like raise their hand.
Like proudly.
And she's like, you can't do that. That's not leadership. And I thought that is a really good moment right there. She, out of the entire mess of politics right now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that it's going to be harder for people to come out of that were really closely associated with Trump, might have a problem depending on how the Trump presidency ends, either if it ends prematurely in defeat or otherwise,
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't make it to 2024, some people are not going to be able to crawl out of that wreckage. Nikki Haley will.
She will. I believe that too.
Nikki Haley, I think, will be the first female president of the United States.
Hmm.
Maybe not in this next cycle, but... And maybe, listen, maybe Donald Trump decides he doesn't want to run again.
Maybe. And she's young enough, she certainly can wait a little while, too.
Ivanka quit. Maybe Donald Trump will quit now, too.
What do you mean quit?
Well, she quit her job. She quit her business.
Her company, yeah.
Her company. She's
shut it down.
She's shutting down the Ivanka Trump brands. Since they're all made in China, it's a little hard to explain.
It was a bit of an explainer. See, this is how that works.
Yeah, kind of a bit of an issue. All right, checking in at
number four.
There was some riffing from the president today at the VFW speech. Now, this is a fairly common thing for the president of the United States to attend the VFW annual convention.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk about things. And he talked about the trade war, the tariffs on foreign imports, and urging veterans and their families to not pay attention to the negative news that surrounds his presidency.
No, folks, stick with us. Stick with us. But remember, they have the biggest, best, strongest lobbyists. And they're doing a number. Just stick with us. Don't believe the crap you see from these people, the fake news.
Oh, boy.
Don't believe any of the news. Just stick with me. Don't worry about it. It's all fine. I just wonder. It doesn't matter what I wonder anymore, does it? All right, now, it did talk about, because these are veterans. And he did, you know, he talked about kind of taking the handcuffs off and making sure that the rules of engagement are different for the military now, and build, you know, talked about the budgets and the military buildup. And then he went back to this.
And I've directed the Pentagon to begin the process of creating the sixth branch of our military. It's called the Space Force. We are living in a different world, and we have to be able to adapt. And that's what it is. A lot of very important things are going to be taking place in space. And I just don't mean going up to the moon and going up to Mars, where we'll be going very soon. We'll be going to Mars very soon. But from a military standpoint, space is becoming every day more and more important.
Does he know something we don't? Has he gotten messages?
He is able to see all the intelligence on everything.
Well, it doesn't apparently not paid a lot of attention to it, but maybe that's what. Just tell me if there's aliens. How do I know about Russia? Just aliens. Illegal or out of space. Either ones. That's all I'm interested in. I don't know. That's interesting.
What do you draw from that? It is, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's sort of ominous the way you delivered it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like... yeah. Well, the Air Force, actually the Pentagon, there's a couple different things going on here. First of all, the Air Force is like, what is he talking about? Because the Air Force already has a space command, which is doing what he says that they're doing. And the question is, why are we going to build a bureaucracy that a new bureaucracy to do what's already being done by one of the branches of the military? What's the point of adding to that? That's a reasonable question. And it would be a reasonable question to ask any president at any time because, you know, in terms of budgeting, the bang for your buck by creating a whole new entity when it's already really being handled, not only by the Air Force, but also by their joint commands within the Pentagon that use the assets of all the military branches. And that's also looking at space and the NSA and some of these other organizations. So I don't know, the Space Force, he loves the idea because he wants to invent something that's, you know, brand new. He also somehow thinks that the Marines are not part of the Navy. Now there's an argument about moving them out of the Department of the Navy so that they're their own department. But that, again, for the same reason, it doesn't make a whole lot of fiscal sense to do that, to create new bureaucracies. And people who have been in the military, they know a little something about bureaucracies. Notice that there was kind of tepid applause for that when he brought it up. It wasn't like the rousing applause that he got and so saying so many other things. But in that, they're like, I think even veterans are like, what is he? Why are we doing that?
And him being the one to remind us that we live in a completely different world is a little ironic.
Now, he lauded his administration for ordering 147 new F-35 Lightning stealth fighters.
We're ordering 147 new F-35 Lightning fighters. This is an incredible plane. It's stealth. You can't see it. So when I talk to even people from the other side, they're trying to order our plane. They like the fact that you can't see it. I said, how would it do in battle with your plane? They say, well, we have one problem. We can't see your plane. That's a big problem. Stealth. Super stealth, the best in the world.
The other side being the aliens? Who is he talking to?
I don't know, quite honestly. Now, that technology, we're being very careful about who we sell that stuff to. I mean, I believe Israel's getting some. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, I think, is going to be getting, which is interesting, is going to be getting some. But I don't think that technology is... we're more concerned about the technology we use for the skin of that aircraft than we do for that. We protect that more than we protect just about anything. Because, you know, we got that from aliens. I don't know if you know that.
Thus the space program.
Yes, thus the space program. And by the way, it's not invisible. We should make that clear. Like Wonder Woman's jet from the cartoon.
Oh, I love
it's
that.
It's not invisible. It is actually, you can actually see it with your eyes. You can see it. It's just got the radar signature of, you know, a flock of doves or something. You know, it's a very small radar signature when you try to find it that way. But it is believed that within at least another half generation of aviation that they'll be able to figure that out.
Yeah, it says it's undergoing intense year of combat testing starting in September and then see how it does, see how it performs.
Right. Well, it's already rolling out in the United States. It's rolling out to units in the United States. There's three variants of it. There's one for the Air Force, one for the Navy, and one for the Marines. So it's been a big project. But the project has been ongoing for decades. This is not a new, he didn't just invent this. This is not something that they just did. They've been in the works for 15 years. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, here is Judy telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour of the news.
Might soon be hard to find Ivanka fashion items.
Oh, I know. I bought everything I could find today.
You better.
I went to Claire's and I bought everything I could find.
Claire's like they sell it there.
They will be. And the dollar store is basically where I think you're going to be seeing it.
Yeah,
and
you might sale.
And at Goodwill, I think you're going to start seeing it there too, Judy. Goodbye, girl.
I already do.
Yeah. All right. Here is Violetta.
Chicago's hosting the ultimate month-long food festival. It's all coming your way this August. Visit ctfoodball.com. Get your seat at the table.
All right. South 5 at 5 continues right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, who's celebrating a birthday today.
Thank
she
you.
Is 26 years old.
Thank you very much.
Number 3.
Fake news statement.
20 years ago today, Saving Private Ryan opened in U.S. theaters, directed by Steven Spielberg. This drama starring Tom Hanks as Captain Miller, who after surviving a harrowing June 6, 1944, Allied invasion of Normandy, is directed to take his squad of soldiers and locate Private James Ryan, played by Matt Damon. Ryan's three brothers have all been killed in action, leaving him the sole surviving brother, and they need to get him home safely.
Ryan, I don't know anything about Ryan. I don't care. Man means nothing to me. It's just a name. But if, you know, if going to Rommel and finding him so he can go home, if that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission.
Yeah. It is one of the best movies about World War II ever. It's the most harrowing scene of D-Day that has ever been shot. I think Dunkirk is pretty good in terms of...
I loved Dunkirk.
That kind of a harrowing scene, battle scene.
It made you feel like you were there. The way right. they shot it, the sounds, the you just felt the intense nature of as close as you can get without being on that beach.
The World War II Museum in New Orleans has a, narrated by Tom Hanks also, a presentation about this sort of a 3D movie presentation that's also got effects. It snows on you and it does other kinds of things. It's really an interesting thing to take you through what that was like.
Oh.
It's really pretty wild. Not Normandy wasn't snowing, but it was pretty cold and rainy, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
Amazing. I need to get there.
That's amazing.
That museum.
All right. That's 20 years ago today. Checking in at
number two.
Stephen Colbert has his own thoughts about President Trump and his affair with Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal.
McDougal is the former Playboy playmate who allegedly have a year-long affair with Donald Trump, beginning just 3 months after the birth of his and Melania's son, roughly the same time as he slept with Stormy Daniels. That's dangerous. You don't want to risk that. Can you imagine? He's having sex and calls out the wrong mistress's name. I'm joking, of course. He screams out his own name.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Did you see that Stormy Daniels is has filed for divorce from her husband?
I didn't see that.
Her husband is claiming infidelity.
With a porn star?
Yeah. Isn't that like a professional hazard? I mean, what goes on there? And he's a porn star, too.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, well, God.
Classic porn star drama.
Yeah, exactly. They're a reality show. All right, finally.
Number one.
Eric Stagno of Haverhill, Massachusetts, was charged with indecent exposure, lewdness, and disorderly conduct after taking off all of his clothes and exercising at a Planet Fitness.
Oh.
Witnesses said he walked back and forth and started doing poses on a yoga mat naked.
That's just
naked.
Gross.
It's a judgment-free zone, right? That's what he said, right?
Well, I just moved out here, so this is a live-free-or-die state, right? So anything's free.
To me, it's like, what did you smoke before you came to the gym? No, I mean, I don't think you should be at the gym naked.
That's not right at all. Why would you do that? People are uncomfortable. Make you uncomfortable? That's weird.
Come on, you can't be naked in front of people.
You shouldn't put people at a discomfort or make them feel weird going in there.
If I have the good sense to put my clothes on before I come to the gym, then so should he. I'm just hoping he doesn't come back.
Free the nipple, let him express himself. That's what I said.
Well, that's what they say. It's the gym chain's motto is it's a judgment-free.
That's right.
And it turns out that's not true. Turns out
very judgy.
Nothing but judgment there.
Judgment-free.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
Let's close
there.
This up.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
I'm very excited about our next guest. Wrote a book. It's about bucket lists, right? But then includes a chapter about you, we're told.
That's coming up at 6 o'clock, yeah.
Guest after the next.
Right. Marina Shifrin is her name. And she's written a book called 30 Before 30, How I Made a Mess of My 20s and You Can Too.
Don't I know?
Could have written that book, huh?
Yeah.
I think we all could have.
And she's a comedian and a writer, and she had gone off to, she's from Chicago originally, and she went off to Taiwan to get involved in the there's a whole animation world there. You know, where they do like these quick animation shows and things like that. And so she went off to get involved in that and didn't like her job. And then she made a video about quitting her job, which went totally viral.
Yeah. I just watched it. It's so funny.
It's hilarious.
Oh, I remember her video.
Yes.
Yeah.
She quits by a song to Kanye West. She does a dance number the whole time.
Yes.
And then she was on the talk show circuit where she was offered a ton of jobs because everyone was so impressed with her creativity and the way she told the story. And she launched a book out of that experience.
Right. So it's just, you know, she it's like, my wife, if it were me, if I were her agent, I mean, baby darling, sweetheart, puppy, listen, what you should do is call yourself, my life is a viral. Because it really was about, it's a lot of it is about what happened in the viral, but it's very funny. So it's a series of essays that she's written for this book. So they're like comedic monologues and essays. And one of the chapters is titled Meeting Ro Khan.
That's so wild.
It's just pretty wild.
You're going to tell the story later, right?
About she'll that? Tell the story.
She'll tell the story I'll about meeting you story, and yes. the impact you had on her, obviously.
Yeah. So I read it last night and I was like, wow, it's interesting. Huh.
Kev.
I have an essay similar to that. Yeah, first time I met Ro Khan.
Yeah, him and I both have those paragraphs if you want.
Why don't you guys both do interpretive dance videos and see if they go viral?
Should read them all and compare them. What was it like for all these millennials meeting Ro Khan for the first time?
Yeah, what was it like?
I actually do one after every show. What it's like to work with Ro Khan.
Yeah.
Day number 473.
Yeah. So she'll tell her story.
We'll tell ours next.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You don't have to.
Try to not upstage the guest.
We're almost out of time for the Arkadeck giveaway here. So you got to get your name in right now. Go to wgnradio.com/contest and register to win an Arkadeck deck, a paper patio, the dealy. For your outdoor in your home, you can get, listen to this, a 14-foot diameter patio, wood-burning fire pit, and it's all made with Belgard, Rin Laziano, or Medino-style paving stones. It's a $7,000 value. $7,000 value.
That's what
we are giving you away right now at WGNRadio.com. That might be the biggest thing I have ever given away. Well, I gave away a car once.
Well, and you talk about life-changing. Just to have a really gorgeous area outside your house to relax at the end of a day. I mean, it is really, it's very special.
It really is.
Was that dropped in there for any purpose?
No, it was not. Actually, that you know what?
We do get a little crazy on the deck.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's not. I don't know why that went. The way that went. This is so funny. I took my little piece of paper here with the notes on it, and I flung it forward.
Yes.
And it ran into this touch screen in front of me, and it fired that.
Oh, gosh. That was
I'm going to try that again, see what special. It comes up with. Yeah. Oh, man.
There's crazy in the air.
It's also, you know, we're in the new place, and we're still kind of learning it, and it's kind of learning us.
Yes.
I want to ask a question here. You know, I mentioned this right before we were before we took the break there in the top five. Stormy Daniels and her husband are divorcing. And he is, in his petition, claiming adultery. How is that technically possible? She's a porn star. He is a porn star.
So they're both presumably having sex with the other
yes.
people.
And they are, I mean, you know, they're not like in the classic kind of porn, you know, like the, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, where that's, you know, or the Showtime kind of porn where you, who knows what they're really doing there. They're both in the kind of porn where there's, you know, proof of action.
Yeah, but there's two different kinds of cheating. Right.
All right.
I mean, there's...
Okay, can't wait to hear this.
Well, A, they're doing their jobs, okay? And then secondly, there's the kind of cheating when you, like, start a relationship with someone and talk to them every day and want to know what they're doing. That's worse.
Emotional cheating.
Yeah, emotional cheating's...
I'd agree.
You know, because the other stuff, I mean, whatever.
I think she's an expert on this, apparently.
But if you want to, like, talk
just let her go. I just let her to explain.
If you want to take them to dinner, like, that's bad. That's really bad.
Hmm. Compared to, like, a one-and-done situation?
Yeah, compared to, you know, a physical need or whatever.
Or whatever.
You know, I mean, that could be, I think, forgiven in a certain sense, especially since it's their job to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. How was work today, honey? I mean, when they get home, right? It's sort of like, oh, what did you have to do? Well, oh, whew, I got to tell you something. This is a tough one. Because it was, you know.
The fluffer. Had to put in extra work.
Yeah, there was, I got to tell you, there was.
Right, she wasn't cute at all. No.
We had to do 16 setups, and there was like a whole thing with, like, you know, there were three other people, and there was a, oh, we got it. And then at one point, the health department came in, and we had to stop everything. I mean, I don't know.
But then when you want to take that girl out to lunch, and when you asked her what she did like, you know, it just gets complicated if they take their work home. Or extend it.
Well, I think they're supposed to take... I'm assuming that they met on the set, right?
Isn't you would assume so if they're both in the business.
Kind of how that goes.
Probably overlapped at some point.
Is that the term we're going to use for that?
I've not seen any of their work personally, but I would guess.
I don't know.
They might have appeared in a scene together, do you think?
I'm assuming that they have. I don't know. When I read that this morning, I was just trying to figure out how it's possible that with a straight face they could appear in court.
say that
the real problem here, my friends, is that he cheated on me.
Well, that's the grounds for the divorce. That is what they put in the paperwork. He put in the paperwork when he filed.
And she claims that he threw a fan at her. And when I read that, I thought, well, who was the fan, right? Like
a person?
Like they threw a person at her, and it was like, and then she was then forced to, because it's a fan, she had to, you know, do something? No, it was actually a box fan that she claims he threw.
Mm.
And they're both trying to keep the other one from seeing the kid.
That's right, which is always healthy, right, when you... Sort of
right,
try to
that.
Use the kid as the
leverage in the middle of a divorce.
That's right.
Yeah.
7-year-old daughter they share, and he's saying it's not healthy for her to be on tour with mama when she's going to these seedy establishments. I'm not sure where he works, but somehow that makes sense to
he's
him.
He's not wrong about that, I don't think. I mean, at the Admiral, I mean, I know all these strip clubs have daycares in the back, right? Isn't that what we always show in the movies? You know, whether there's always like a scene in a movie where you're backstage at a strip club and there's one of those, what are those corrals you put the kids in, you know?
Corrals? You know, I hope not.
You know,
like a playpen.
Like a playpen kind of thing.
Closed in area with lots of toys.
Yeah.
I don't think they have them. Do they have them in Becca's strip clubs?
Yeah. That's why the music is so loud, so you can't hear the kids screaming back there.
I just hope none of the toys ever get mixed up.
So there is a I was going to read to you from the filing here.
This is Michael Avenatti, he represents Stormy, and the husband is the one who filed, right?
Right, and he's not representing her in the divorce.
I thought he said my client. He's speaking on her behalf to People Magazine, everybody else, Fox News.
But I don't think he's the divorce attorney. Is he the divorce attorney? I think he's just
her spokesperson on this. Because he's saying that there are things in that document that are don't represent his client, the truth about his client.
All right. Can I just...
Let's hear it.
Let me just say this. Who cares about his client? This, to me, I mean, I don't know if there's some sort of method here. There's some sort of legal jeopardy that they're trying to create around the president or open up an avenue to get other kinds of things other than a shake in the tree on Michael Cohen, which is essentially what this is. But does anybody truly care about the affair that he had with a porn star other than Melania? Right? I mean, and you got the whole thing about the Karen McDougal. It's that this is all stems from what we were talking about when we played the Stephen Colbert cut from last night, which is, you know, he's having the affair with Karen McDougal. I'd like to talk to Karen McDougal about how she feels about the fact on the same weekend he was chain smoking with both of them.
Right. He was at that Lake Tahoe golf tournament, and he met both Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal at the same tournament eventually. It seems, according to them.
They're kind of the alpha and omega of that, you know, the Playboy model and then the porn star. And that's a very big different kind of thing. And, and Karen McDougal claims that they had a year-long romance. See, now that's what you're talking about there.
Yeah.
Violetta. That's the difference.
That is.
If you're Melania, you don't care so much about Stormy.
That's
you
right.
care a little bit more like Karen McDougal, who looks like Melania, kind of. Right? So that's where that becomes an issue.
That's what hurts.
Yeah. All right.
Well, he's saying he wants a bigger share of the money and the property and all, and then also custody of the child. It seems that, you know, Stormy's been cashing in a little bit lately. And
right. He wants the dough.
He wants the dough.
He wants the child exit. And he wants child support.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a class act.
Get that sense.
Oh, my God.
But the adultery part is the part that stands out as grounds for the divorce. No details, it seems, given beyond she committed adultery, says the porn star to the porn star.
She's a porn star! Right? It's like saying if she were a milkman and saying, well, she's always out on a route, you go, that's her job.
That's a strange analogy, but I'm with you.
All right. It is a strange analogy. I'll give you that. Let's find out right now from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour on the WGN News.
$500 million just waiting to be won.
Violetta's traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Coming up, we got more convention passes to give away to the Blackhawks Convention coming your way on Friday, July 27th. That's Friday. I don't have to say July 27th when I say Friday, but just in case you're confused. And that's courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Get convention passes at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And Anna Burrish
yes.
is going to join us to give one of our last set of passes away. I think our last set is tomorrow. So there you
Very
go.
Very cool.
All right. Now, this is going to be interesting. The whole staff is excited about this.
We kind of are. We're very curious that you're in a book.
Yeah. Marina Shivrin is joining us. She is a Chicagoan and a former Chicagoan. I don't know. If you're a Chicagoan, you're always a Chicagoan, I suppose. And she has written a book called 30 Before 30. It's a series of essays. The subtitle is How I Made a Mess of My 20s and You Can Too. And Marina, this is interesting because what we have with us on this program now under this configuration of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, mm-hmm. we have two millennials who are close to you in age, and they have made a mess of their 20s, and that's why they have been assigned to this program.
I'm right there with you, Marina.
Yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
I think I need to read this book, though, to see how to get to the next step, you know?
I don't know that you're really going to get to the next step
in
this
book.
I'm
in the mess part. I got that.
Yeah. This actually...
Yeah, the mess is the best part, so I would just stay there, honestly. That's my expert opinion.
So the interesting thing is that when you read this book, I think that it is, first of all, it's very, very funny. Congratulations
yes.
on it. And Marina reached out to me about 6 months ago, and she's like, I'm going to write this book, and I'm going to include a chapter on you. Is it okay? And
what'd you say?
I said, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I suppose, right?
But you don't
I mean,
know how you're going to be portrayed. Didn't you feel vulnerable at that moment?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think so. And so
I know I was surprised that you didn't ask to read a draft or anything, because almost everyone did. And I was like, that is so much trust that Ro is putting in my hands. I'm going to abuse that as much as possible.
Great.
Ro's like, whatever.
Right.
Sure.
Right. There's
Go
no,
ahead.
There's,
How much
know,
worse can it get?
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, you're like, do I have to show
right.
up for anything?
Just ask Paul Manafort. It's fine. It works out great for him.
And you have Sacha Baron Cohen's victims.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, well, explain the book a little bit. Explain what you're trying to do here.
Sure, yeah. Well, when I was in my early 20s, I was trying to keep this blog, and I thought the best way to do it is to kind of set up a challenge for myself. So I decided to do this 30 things to get done before I turn 30 and just keep track of it on the blog. And so I did a horrible job of keeping track of it on my blog, but I did end up writing this book about it because I did end up accomplishing almost everything on that list. And it was interesting because, you know, in hindsight, you could look back and see how one thing led to another. And I had the luck of doing some pretty epic things in my 20s. So someone gave me some money to write about it, which was
awesome.
People will remember you from the viral video when you quit your job and you did sort of an interpretive dance about it. And, yeah. And it just, I mean, it just went crazy. What millions and millions of people saw it. You were on the talk show circuit. And I got asked, did you have the book in mind at that time, or did it sort of evolve from that whole experience? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, initially, I always thought that this would make for a great book, but I was so early in my career as a writer. I mean, I was just keeping a blog at that point. And so when the viral video, you know, when it exploded on the internet, I think it ended up around 19 million views. So when that happened, I knew that it would open doors for me, but I was really scared I would kind of be a one-hit wonder and no one would think I had the, you know, creative talent to back up what this 1 minute, 45-second video was able to do in terms of attention. But the interesting thing is, right after that video went viral, a lot of people in Los Angeles kind of went through my blog and saw that I did have a blog post about, you know, trying to get these 30 things done. And so I initially moved out to Los Angeles because they wanted to develop it as a show, which I thought was an interesting angle, even though I always saw it as more essays about my personal experience. And then, you know, Los Angeles is a crazy place and development does not mean anything, but I was so naive. I was like, oh, developing a show, I am going to be rich and famous and have my own TV show. And that kind of, you know, got trapped in purgatory. So I was like, I'm going to try and do this as a book because I think that's how it should be. And I was lucky enough to sell it to St. Martin's Press.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's very good. And it is a series of comedic essays. It reads like a lot of comedy books, you know, throughout the years. There's a little bit of like Without Feathers in it, which is to me one of the, you know, seminal comedy books ever written.
Mm-hmm.
By Woody Allen. I know he's a controversial figure now, but back then he wasn't quite as much of one. And then also, you know, sort of telling your story of the things that you've done, because you went and you lived overseas. You grew up in an immigrant family here in Chicago, which is kind of funny because it's very similar to the stories that we tell about our traffic reporter Violetta, who mm-hmm. also grew up in, you know, you bring these traditions from, you know, Europe mm-hmm. to here, and and the kids are trying to assimilate while the parents are still very much stuck in sweatpants, socks, and sandals. And you got to figure out what to do.
Enforcing the culture from the homeland, right? That you're not always necessarily embracing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I always said that, you know, growing up in an immigrant family, it's kind of like the outside world is America, and then the second you step into the house, that's whatever country you're from. And I'm, you know, was born in Russia, which is a buzzword right now, but growing up, it was like, it was Russia within the walls of my parents' house. And then outside it was America. And I do agree with you, Ro. It is like you work your whole life to assimilate. And now it's really interesting because I think people are kind of craving different stories and different experiences. So I spent my entire childhood and teens trying to be exactly like all my friends who were born in the country and, you know, a little bit embarrassed about my parents' different ways. And now I've kind of just completely done a 180 and I've, you know, embraced the difference and been a lot more curious about where these, you know, how much of these customs are my parents and how much of them are, you know, from Russia.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes, Kevin.
I know you can't, obviously you don't give away everything because people should buy the book and read it. But why, did the whole Rokan chapter come about?
I know. Let's get to that part, please.
That's a great question, Kevin. Yeah. So, I mean, Ro has been, a little secret about my 30 before 30 list is some of the things on that list were from a list I had made when I was 16 of life goals. And so I added it to this more, you know, not diluted, but a more concise list when I was in my 20s. And the Meet Ro Khan was always on, it was my list when I was 16, and I write about it in the chapter, but I grew up with Ro's voice in my home every day from 2 to 6. My parents had it on, and I mentioned this to Ro before, but my parents and all our family friends, they would turn on WLS to listen to, you know, English speakers to learn how to speak English. And so
I only recently.
Oh, no. They probably learned some great words. Can you imagine? If you'd only known that, Ro, the pressure.
Yeah.
The Carnarvon wagon.
Carnarvon. You actually think Carnarvon's an English word.
That's a bar.
Anyone want a Carnarvon?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I know. Well, mixed with, like, the Russian accent and then Ro's words, I think it kind of works. I mean, no one ever understands what my parents are saying anyway. Mm-hmm, so
I know it.
Maybe.
Yeah. How do they do in drive-thrus? Pretty good.
Oh, they avoid drive-thrus.
They're eating Russian food at home.
There's a great. True. By the way,
there's no pickled herring at McDonald's.
Oh,
yeah. But now they have a new international McDonald's.
They
though.
Do.
You might be able to get pickled herring or something. I don't know. But it's a funny. There's a great chapter in her book, 30 Before 30. Another one on me. I'm drinking. I'm learning how to drink and the appropriate ways to drink. And it's also really great because, you know, obviously you come from a Russian family. They like to drink vodka, but they never get drunk because they've got it figured out.
Well, how do they have it figured out?
How to sip and stay drunk.
Yeah, I didn't realize this until I was older, but it is basically insane to a Russian person to drink without having some sort of fatty food in front of you. And so when I was in college and people found out I was Russian, they were like, oh, you must have the highest tolerance. And I didn't know anything about drinking. And I did not have a high tolerance, but I realized, you know, learning from my parents as you learn the best drinking habits, it's because they always had, you know, potato salad or some sort of fatty food that they would take their shots with, which, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I do think that
kind of helps. I don't know either. But I do know that if you drink while you eat, you're better off than if you just don't eat and you drink. I mean, I think everybody knows that.
Got to spread a base.
And there's a balance in there somewhere.
Have some pickled herring the next time you do your vodka.
Yeah, I think that's what I might have
kind
to
of
do.
Mixes it together.
I also noticed that Russians don't take shots unless they do a toast first, and toasts are very, very wordy, like a Russian novel. So I think that they, by doing those toasts, branch out the, you know, timing between each shot, because it's like my dad just is, it's, you know, 20 minutes of talking.
So Ro was not in the how to learn how to drink section. So he's a totally different
section?
No, he didn't
make it. Yeah, he got his own. He got his whole own section. So, Ro, have you read it yet?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Did you like
it? Is it weird?
It's. I'll tell you what. It's interesting because I had to step out and see myself as a different sort of figure because I.
Right.
I'll let you explain what happens here, but it is. It's interesting to you. Grew up listening to me. And then we met because you got booked on Windy City Live, and you told the producers right that you were a fan and that you wanted to meet me, and then they called me and they you know brought me in on a day I wasn't scheduled to be on to meet you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No. It was great. I mean, because I'd been following you on Twitter. I'd seen, you know, like you're very funny. You're very talented. Obviously, that video had, you know, gone very viral at that point. You were doing all these talk shows, and so and I thought it would be fun. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, she grew up in a family that was, you know, listeners and all that, and that's great. And then it kind of goes on from there. And I'll let you explain the rest of it.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I wrote about in the chapter is our initial meeting. And I do think it's really interesting because it is a one-sided relationship, which makes me sound like a psycho, but you played a big part in my growing up, and I did feel like I knew you. And now, through my own small way, I'm experiencing that just being a writer and putting my essays out there. You know, I have people who feel a lot more connected to me than I them, and that's definitely how I felt with you, Ro. And so, yeah, I was doing this interview for Windy City Live, and they were asking me about this blog post, about my 30 Before 30 blog post, and they were like, so you wanted to meet Ro? And I was like, yeah, I just think he's so dreamy and adorable, and right at that moment, they were like, oh, he's standing behind you right now. And I lost my marbles, for lack of a better word, and I don't know... Part of me felt like I worked in content and production, and part of me was like, this would make great television if Ro was there that day. So I had this little inkling that maybe you would be there, but the second I saw you, I was shaking and so nervous. I mean, it's so weird to meet someone you've listened to for
I think at that point it was probably over 10 years. It's very weird to meet you that way. And I said, I mean, I know I had pictures of you. This is so strange. I had pictures of you in my locker because I thought you were so cool. And so when I was in middle school, my locker was.
She actually describes one of the publicity pictures that Gary and I did.
Oh. And was it with sunglasses?
There was leather. I mean, that's all you need to know. Yeah. And
I know now as an adult, I'm like, bro, why were you wearing a leather jacket?
I know in the middle of summer. What were you thinking? Well, it was the 90s and it was radio, you know, and that's what we did in the 90s. You wore leather, you know, and I had a Wham haircut. I don't know. George Michael was still hot. I don't know.
So did Rose say something inspirational to you? Like, what was the encounter?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously, when the cameras were on, it was very, like, I think Val was one of the interviewers, and she was just trying to, like, corral the interview and give it a little bit of structure, and I was just like, oh, my God! toward the end of the interview, Ro was just, like, very casually, it was like, well, if you're looking for a job, you can get one here.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just, like, kind of a joking, you know, a joking thing that you said because I had just quit my job and had no work and people were offering me gigs left and right. But then I write about this in the book, but as they throw to commercial, I kind of like look over at you and Ro, and I kind of cocked my head to the side and was like, wait, what? And you nodded like, yeah, this is a real offer, which I felt bad because they probably didn't get that, you know, TV moment where I'm like crying because I got my dream job offer. I was just like, yeah, no, right.
She turned us down almost immediately,
really?
Which was really kind of, you know, it was very sweet,
thanks.
Actually. Yeah, no, it's funny though, because everybody was offering you a job. I think.
Yes, Queen Latifah offered you a job
at some of the other
shows that you went on.
And so the Windy City Live wanted me to offer a job on behalf, and then the radio show, we were like, you know, the WLS at the time was like, yeah, you know, offer a job as a producer or writer.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the rest of it is in the book. We'll let people go buy the book and read the rest of it, what happened.
Good
there.
Idea.
But it is interesting. It was interesting to read because of your reaction to that whole thing, and you made the right decision because it what it did is it propelled you to do something else. And that's all.
Yeah. I briefly wrote that, I mean, someone you look up to, because you gave me a vote of confidence and you were just like, I can tell you're going to do great things. And just hearing that gave me the confidence to pursue, because I always wanted to be a comedy writer, but it felt like such an out there career. I mean, it is an out there career. I'm constantly freaking out about what I'm doing next. But just having a vote of confidence from someone you respect just propels you forward like crazy. And another thing I was going to say when I was talking about writing this chapter, a lot of people were really excited about it because I do think plenty of people attach strong emotions to these reporters that they grow up with. My fiance is from Seattle and he knows all of the local news reporters and just gets so excited when he, you know, he'll still be like, oh, I saw so-and-so at the burger.
Yeah, they're your local celebrity kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of you, and so Ro, I mean, I'm certain you've met a lot of fans over the years, but it's crazy how much stronger the connection is when it's kind of that local hometown, you know.
Yeah, because trust me, there are no national fans. I don't get a lot of those, but it's very charming, and I appreciate you writing it, and you did it beautifully, and thank you so much for doing it. And people should read the book not for this chapter. They should read the book for the whole thing because it's really entertaining. It's really funny, and it's whether you're in your 20s or you're in your 30s or you got kids that are in their 20s or 30s. It's kind of a great way of looking at the mind of that. So it's 30 Before 30. Marina Shifrin is the writer, and you will continue to be hearing great things from her. So congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you so much. It was such a treat to talk to you again.
Thanks, Marina. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Now, do people see that?
That is so cool how you inspired her.
Yeah, a vote of confidence would be nice once in a while.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you go on the Goodbye Girl episode this month, you'll see your picture in my locker. And I believe it's the same one you were talking about in that leather jacket with your bouffant hair.
Your bouffant. But do you call
him? Wham was very popular.
You are dreamy. Don't get me wrong.
Dreamy and adorable, I believe, is the quote.
All right. Let's check in now. Judy, what else do you have coming up?
taking a closer look at Illinois tollway contracts.
All right, Violetta. It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. She's a birthday girl today.
I am. It's been a good birthday so far.
I bought a lottery ticket in honor of you.
Yeah.
Wait, if I for win, yourself?
Well, if I win, I'll give you a piece.
Okay, everyone heard that.
I'll buy you coffee.
Oh, that doesn't sound as good. You win, like, how many millions?
300 million straight up if you win the Mega. Did you go down and run and get the Mega during the commercial
break? Yeah, I went downstairs.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I did during the news.
I did too. Yeah. And
you know what? I bought a ticket down there a few days ago, and I won $10 on that ticket.
There you go.
So I'm very lucky.
Living
Kevin
large.
And I have already made our deals.
Thanks for buying one for me for my birthday, guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll all chip in if we win.
That would be hard if we bought you one.
Yeah, no, we won't. You'll never see me again. I would just point out that if tonight those numbers come in, I will not be. Well, I'm going to be reporting from another place tomorrow, but I won't be reporting from there either.
Show up at Ro's house. It's like somebody fleeing from a hurricane or natural disaster.
Right. Ro, we're here to party on your deck. Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah, no, you can have the deck. Anna Bursch is joining us, Chicago Blackhawks great, Stanley Cup champion, and going to be at the Blackhawks convention over this weekend. The final schedule hasn't been fully released yet, but it's always like a ton of fun, right? I mean, this is one of the things that the Hawks started doing, and now a bunch of NHL teams are doing this as well. And it's a great way in the middle of summer to start thinking about those dark nights of winter and the sun light inside the United Center when those lights hit the ice and our beloved Blackhawks skate out.
How about it?
So let's talk a little bit about the team, Adam. Obviously, this is not the kind of success that, was when you were on the Blackhawks. You were in that ascendancy period where, things were really gelling and the championship arc was just beginning and, continued on. And I think for Blackhawks fans, it's hard. We get it as hockey fans. We get it. It's very hard to continue to keep that up. But what do you think this team needs to do to kind of right the ship, at least to get back into the playoffs?
Well, thanks. First of all, Roanna and Kevin, if I bought my lottery ticket too, and if I win that, I don't think I will be at that convention this weekend if I win this Powerball. This may be the last time I ever call into your guys' show. I love your show, but if I win this, I don't think I'm going to have self-service wherever I'm going.
Yeah,
makes sense.
I am with you, Adam. I totally understand that.
Do you tell your friends and family or just sort of buzz out of here?
No,
they'll get a hold of me somehow, or maybe I'll reach out when I get there.
Yeah.
As far as the Blackhawks go, listen, we've all, and myself included, as a fan now, we've been spoiled the last 6 or 7 years with what this team has done. It's been incredible, and there are going to be times when they had a bad season last year. That's the truth of it. But I know these guys. I know the players. They were more ticked off, and I said it all season, fans are upset, and we're sitting here, and I'm on TV talking about the team upset, and have to take a step back and say, how do I feel? How do you think these guys feel who have won 3 Stanley Cups, who have big salaries, who are as competitive as can be? It hurts them way more than it hurt you and I and the fans around town who are disappointed and ticked off. These guys had to live that the entire season. They hate it more than anybody. I see them this summer. I talk to them this summer. A lot of the guys are really, really motivated and ticked off with how things happened last year. And I know that group of guys is not going to let that happen again. To me, Patrick Kane is still the best player in the league. He still had an unbelievable season. He's my favorite player to watch in hockey. He's at the rink training harder than he ever has. I saw him the other day at the MB Arena during the prospects camp that was going on. He was on the other rink training by himself and skating. Duncan Keith, I know, has been training his tail off this summer. These guys are motivated. They're angry. They're kicked off. And when you've got guys that have won Stanley Cups like they had, and then you've got to put a chip on their shoulder and everybody tells them, oh, you guys stink now, you suck, you had a bad year. it's a pretty dangerous thing for other teams. So I think this will be an exciting season to watch these guys and watch how they bounce back.
Hey, can we talk a little bit about Marian Hossa for just a second?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're running this promo. It almost brings a tear to your eye.
Oh, it does. Moving.
That Chris Duffy created for us about Marian Hossa, you know, leaving the team. And,
sure.
Kind
of leaving.
Well, he'd already, you know, I mean, he was kind of in retirement. Yeah. We all knew he wasn't coming back, but right. He was, you know, he left the organization in terms of his salary and all that. But let's just talk about his contribution to Chicago, to hockey in general. That guy, he was like, he was like Benjamin Button. He got younger every year.
He was the most professional guy by far that I ever played with. He treated everybody. Well, what fans don't get to see is how he is behind closed doors. You see him on the ice and you see him in some interviews. He's a soft-spoken, friendly guy. But what people didn't get to see is how he treated everybody and how he treated in training camp. When there's kids that everybody knows aren't going to make the team, that a lot of players, to be honest, don't even talk to or don't give time to, he gave time to everybody. He was respectful to everybody. He was respectful to the trainers, to the equipment guys, and he worked incredibly, incredibly hard. And don't forget, when we won our first cup, I remember talking to him after that, and he says, and I like to hear it because obviously it was the only one I was here for in 2010, but he said that was the most special cup that he won out of the three because he had just lost two previous seasons before in the Stanley Cup final. He goes to, he's in Pittsburgh, loses to the Red Wings in the finals. Then he goes to Detroit and loses to Pittsburgh the following year in the finals. So both teams that he just leaves go on and win cups, and he's not on those teams. So he felt he was the reason that these teams were losing in the final. Now he comes to Chicago for the third year, and he's in the final again, and he thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to blow it for these guys too. So the pressure that he felt and that he lived with and that guilt that he kind of lived with for those two seasons and until he finally won one was really hard, and he hit it and he didn't talk about it. He was very quiet during that Stanley Cup run in 2010. He kept to himself. You could tell he was very focused. He was very nervous, and he wanted this as much as anybody did because of what he did the first 2 years. But the way he trains, the way he is in the gym, he works harder than anybody taking care of his body, and just the way he treats people. There's not a guy in the league that ever played with Marian Hossa that could say one bad thing about him. And I'm sure at some point, I know he'll be a Hall of Famer, and I'm certain at some point his number will be hanging in the rafters.
I think it absolutely should, because as you point, first of all, he set that record by being the first guy ever in the history of the NHL to be on three consecutive Stanley Cup finals. Teams
that?
With three different teams and be in the finals three different times.
And he's in part of a great video that the Blackhawks put out too, just saying thank you to the fans. And it is just what you say, Adam. He's full of respect, full of class. Awesome to hear from him. And plus, if you look at the video, you get to see his castle in Slovakia.
Slovakia.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not make that mistake.
No, not the same place as the first lady. Slovakia, not Slovenia. Yeah. But it's a really cool castle nonetheless.
Yes, it is.
He's a big car guy too. I don't know if they showed any of his cars in the video, but he's got a pretty sweet little car collection too. He's a big car nut also.
Yeah. Listen, God bless him.
Yes.
He was great. All right, we're going to see you at the convention right now, as a matter of fact. Let's just do this because this, I think, is the most important thing that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, caller number, what are we going to do? 37 for you. 37
would
be the right. That's the right number right there. Caller number 37 at 312-981-7200 wins a family four-pack of passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton. Coming up Friday through Sunday, courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Get convention passes at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. We'll see you out there. Thank you so much, Adam.
See you out there, Adam.
Thank you all for having me. See you soon.
Bye. All right. Right now, let's check in with Andrea, find out what's coming up.
Well, an outbreak of intestinal parasites linked to salads at McDonald's.
What?
Now climbed.
This is why I avoid salads.
In Illinois. There you go, right? Especially McDonald's.
Don't tell Ro that. He's on his way to dinner. I mean, he worries about these things.
Oh, let me make sure it says salads and not steaks. Yeah, it says salads.
Sorry, all right, I'll go with steaks.
Ro. That's coming up at 7.
All right. Well, it is Anna's birthday.
Yes. And Violetta, being the thoughtful person she is, and her sister Brenda, who is just amazing, have come in with tequila for National Tequila Day. Thank you, guys.
Because you were begging for it on the air.
I laid enough hints, and see, nice things happen. Good
4 hours
happen.
Ago when this show started.
I put it out in the universe.
You were, I mean, you know what I'd really like today is a margarita.
It's National Tequila Day on my birthday. I felt like, you know, kind of deserved a little something. Thank you, Violetta.
And then the next thing you know, you got Brenda showing up here with bottles of tequila. And literally she's been prepping this for an hour out in the kitchen. The new beautiful WGN kitchens.
Tequila.
Tequila.
We just need a conga line.
What else is in here? So it's tequila and something else delicious. Pineapple juice.
Pineapple, tequila, little simple syrup.
That was my nickname in high school.
Just to be clear, today is National Tequila Day for your birthday, and February 22nd is actually Margarita Day.
Okay, we celebrate
which
both.
Is also another special day in this cruise calendar
what
is year.
That? Oh, what would it that
is,
be?
That is unbelievable that she found a way.
We can pivot back to her
to
birthday.
To make it about her.
Which took 2 months of celebrations to get through that season. It's an entire season.
I'm just saying it is pretty convenient that you have tequila day.
It is really interesting. Okay, let me tell you what is interesting about this. Since your birthday, it has been Kevin's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It has been my birthday.
Yes.
It has been Anna's birthday.
Yes. Yep.
We are still to have Judy's birthday.
Yep.
It's coming up. That's All Saints Day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you somehow still worked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
National Tequila Day today, and then National Margarita Day on February 22nd, which is also known as my birthday.
All right.
All right. And also George Washington's birthday.
Yes. Oh.
But you and J-Lo have today.
Fake news.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get back to Anna because it really is her birthday today.
Yes, it is. Happy
and
birthday.
We would like congratulations
Thank you.
On this. On,
I on being appreciate born. Being another year older and year wiser, and I'm feeling I'm really wise just about now.
And you still look beautiful, Anna.
Oh, thank you, Andrea.
Happy birthday to you.
I appreciate the love and support from my WGN colleagues.
That's
and
right.
Violetta, I really appreciate the tequila.
You're welcome.
It's really Brenda.
Yes, Brenda,
really
my sister.
It's Brenda. She's,
I have noticed that Brenda is like on a, she's like on a 911 call. Like, it's like, all Violetta has to do as the little sister is go, I really have a problem. And the next thing you know, Brenda shows up.
You don't even know
with
it.
Emergency. Whatever solution it is.
I got pulled over once. She texts me. She goes, hey, I'm only a block away. You need me? I was like, no, it's just a headlight that's out. It should be okay.
Oh, no.
I was like, go home. You need to stay away from the scene.
Yeah. She is really, she's your guardian angel.
She really is.
That
yes.
is sweet.
My Brendy Boo Boo.
Oh, God.
She's the fixer for Violetta.
Mm-hmm.
And really for the show in certain circumstances.
Yeah, well, she has become. Which I think is really interesting.
She's got you on your birthday, and she brought the tequila.
I mean,
she doesn't let
out
us down.
Of nowhere. All I did was plant a few hints here and there.
Oh,
maybe a
yeah.
lot of them. And then all of a sudden, Brenda's here with this wonderful tequila.
All right.
Simple things that we need, Ro. Women, just think about that when it's a birthday.
Simple. Women need simple things
That's
when
all
it's a
we
birthday.
Need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always found that to be the case.
Diamonds
that,
don't hurt either. They're
yeah,
very small, simple but important.
Simple things. Don't worry about it.
Don't
just
worry.
A little acknowledgement.
Very easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy to please.
It's a little acknowledgement. And maybe a diamond, a set of diamond earrings. That's just acknowledgement.
That's not
that.
Bad.
You can put the diamonds in the tequila if you want.
All right. Well, let's find out what's happening on Patty's show, Patty and Andre, coming up right after. All right. That does it for another day of Broadcast Insolence. And the tequila is flowing.
It is.
In the studios now. Just letting the bosses know this is for this. I'm sure there's a sponsor related to this in some way, or we can at least get a guy to do it. Apple Chevy will always step up and go, no, we were doing that.
That was us.
Yeah, that's
we
what we were
to do
trying to do.
For National Tequila
Or someone's going
to
need a sponsor.
Yes, exactly. Right. Or maybe Architect. We'll get somebody to go along with it. All right. Patty Vasquez is here, and she's going to tell us what's coming up on the program. You have another shortened presentation tonight. Yes?
We do. We've got a quickie tonight. We've got Steve Van Dinter, our tech guy. It's his last show. They've created a special job for him in New York where he's going to be doing like all the TV shows out there and
Catch so you lose them.
Yeah, but it means that we were part of his rise to the top. By the way, I just want you to know that Violetta said something that gave I did a spit take. Nothing was in my mouth, but I feel like you drove right over it when we were talking about whether or not there was childcare at the strip clubs.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "I hope they don't confuse the toys or mix up the toys."
We heard it.
I'm sorry, we did hear it. I need to go back to that moment. I know that you try to get past it, but I'm just going to go ahead and write. I want to write that one down. That would have worked on my show. We would have all laughed. I know they wanted to move on, but on my show that would have fit.
Or,
I understand.
Or cringe.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
No. I would have laughed.
No, we like to move on.
We
like. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's too much going on there.
I was like, yes, go be sir.
Well, that's what I was trying to say. There's too much going on there.
All right, then.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right.
She oversold it. I take it back. Yeah,
you see what she did there? See, she gilded the lily. You can't go back for more. Do not go back for more. That's the first rule of comedy.
Call the mic drop and move on. Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that in the Stormy Daniels divorce, which, first of all, that we have to know who Stormy Daniels is, and then we have to know that she's divorced, that infidelity is an issue with a porn star? How is that possible?
I think that V, again, explained it very, very well. It was part of her job, not part of her emotional connection to the person.
I see. All right. Yes. Okay.
Don't say anything, V.
Are you buying that? Are you along with her on that ride?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
Okay.
Oh, God, I'm so mad.
I think he's making it all up, the guy.
I'm with Anna.
He's seeing her cash in, and he's like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. She's making more money than we've ever made cumulatively before. So what we need to do here.
This is the moment.
I need to take the baby, and I need to go, or at least fake like I'm taking the baby and have her pay me off to go away.
It all works.
Yeah, yeah.
It all comes out in the wash.
Exactly. All right, take it away.